Let us pray. You have indeed spoken, O Lord, and the words are now written for us in your Holy Scripture. We pray that the Spirit will illumine those words for us today, that we might better understand your intentions and your majesty. Amen. So we are reading today from the Gospel of John. As we got a bit of a preview from the children's time, but we're going to continue on just a bit, beginning at line 23. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them. And we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way." So in the many months that I have been with you to help lead worship, I have preached about, and in the weekly newsletter, Fresh Impressions, I have written about getting outside of this space, getting out beyond these walls to serve and to advocate and to share a word of hope and to share with people what it means for you, why it's important for you to be a Christian, and to just engage the world. And I truly believe that. I'm passionate about it. I think it is the calling of the church. But today, I want to offer something else. I want to find or talk about the importance of finding a space where you, after serving and advocating and sharing the good news and probably working on some church committees, where can you just, after struggling at work or with family, feeling stress about the health of a loved one, worrying and slogging, do you have a place where you can just to just exhale and breathe and be? For many in our communities, that might be on the couch, in front of the TV watching the game. Although I guess if you're a Bucks fan, you probably didn't get your woo on. maybe it's the movie theater. I could put you on the lake. Maybe there is a space to feel that exhalation. For some, exercise and yoga ranks way up there. But for me, that's kind of a series of whoos, whoos, whoos. So I don't know if that counts. Maybe it does for you all. It could be walking the dog, or maybe crafts or needlework. But I also hope that Sunday worship is a time where you find your There are two ways of thinking about worship. One is that we are out and engaging the world as the church 6 days a week. And when we see what God is doing out there, where we are being invited to join in what God is doing, it's just natural. We can't help but wanting to come back here on Sunday to be together and celebrate that. But another way of thinking about worship is to follow the model that Christ had, which is that sometimes he would need to pull back from the crowds, to retreat, to find rest and refreshment. And so worship can be a time where we are nurtured and nourished, where we're fed and renewed to go back out. And because I'm me, you see the theme in both of them is that we're out there, we're doing that, and then we come back, either to celebrate or to be renewed for what is to come. Now, if you're a worship leader every Sunday, that probably means you need to find another place and another time in which to find your who. But for most of us, my hope is that as you sing and as you read the words of liturgy, as you let Scripture just wash over you, that you will find rest in the presence of the Holy Spirit. As Presbyterians, we spend a lot of our time in our heads. We take pride in our legacy that we founded many schools and universities, and we have seminary-trained pastors who are knowledgeable in Greek and Hebrew so that they can go back to the original texts. And as Presbyterians, we encourage people to ask questions about what they're hearing and reading and not just accept things blindly. We want people to wrestle with the texts and the mysteries of our faith and to ask questions. And so as a result, we spend a lot of time up here in our heads. And that's true even in worship. So to the extent you need it, I'm going to give you permission to revel in the mysteries of our faith. Not to figure them out or improve upon them or think about how you might explain them to somebody else. When you desperately need to find your I'm giving you permission to simply to rest in the awesomeness of creation. In the mystery of bubbles and waves and wind and clouds. I'm giving you permission to surround yourself with the unknowability of the Trinity, how three can be one. You aren't required to figure that out. Just to know that from all sides, you are surrounded by a force of love that has seamless, interchangeable characteristics that are beyond our imagination. You have my permission to silence the hallelujahs for a time while you sit with the resurrection. Not just as an historical account that's retold every Easter, but a resurrection that was given to you personally. A gift of forgiveness for all those things that weigh you down and get stuck in your mind. A gift of grace that is for you and you and you and you. If you need a good whoo, boy, the resurrection is one. But I do offer a word of caution. Worship is not just a spectator sport. Worship is offered to please God, not you. But in this holy space of worship, in the act of worshiping, the actual act of it, we can find renewal and comfort and refreshment. But it requires us opening ourselves up to the presence of the Spirit, to let all the other things go, and just to rest in the holy, mysterious presence. Excuse me. I picked a week when I am recovering from bronchitis to do something that requires a whew. I don't know if I have the lung capacity to do this, but we'll see. Because I want to take you one step further. That sense of whew is not just about a place like this. It's not just about an event or an activity. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." He's speaking of a state of mind, or maybe better, a state of being. It's a peace that untroubles our heart. It's a peace that gives us courage to face what is unknown. It's not just a momentary whew, but a confident orientation to what is coming. I felt this remarkable sense of peace before I came here to the Milwaukee Presbytery. At that time, I was working in Louisville, Kentucky, where I was living with my husband and working for the denomination there. In August of 2017, my work with World Mission ended. And then my husband's job as an IT contractor ended that month. The landlord from whom we were renting our house said that they wanted to sell the house, and so could we be out in a month? We still had a home in Denver that we were renting out to someone on a long-term lease, and they left early in August. And so all of a sudden, we had no source of income, and we didn't know where we might be going. Even what part of the country we might be headed next. We did decide that we didn't want to continue living in that particular house in Denver, even if we were to return there. And so we decided, well, we've got lots of time on our hands. Let's go ahead and go back to Denver. We'll get the house ready to sell. And so we had belongings scattered across the country in pods in Kentucky, part of our belongings in Colorado. And in the midst of this total uprooting, I felt this wonderful, inexplicable sense of peace. People were saying to me, "Oh, this is horrible. I'm so sorry all of this is happening to you." And I said, I just look around at this chaos and I think, man, God is really clearing the way for something new. And don't get me wrong, I am a planner. You know, whenever they do those personality profiles, I always come out with things like strategic, achiever. But with this uprooting, I just waited, comforted by this unnatural peace that everything was going to turn out okay. And I have to say, it wasn't just trust. I don't think I'm that strong of a Christian that I could put everything into God's hands and not worry at all. Yes, I trust in God's goodness, but I also know that this world can disrupt God's plans from time to time. So this peace that I felt was not some intellectual exercise about trusting God. It was a sense of wonderment and contentment that I received like a gift. And for those intervening months, I would never have found that sustaining peace by simply walking the dog or doing yoga, although I did both of those things. It was a peace that the world could not give, a peace that Jesus promised us as he left this world. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. For 3 months, I just focused on that one task that I had of getting my house ready to sell. The last of the attachments, if you will, that we had to a particular context or a setting. And then I waited for what God had in store for us next. And by October of that year, the pieces started to fall into place, and an opportunity to come to Milwaukee Presbytery and serve with you all, a chance for us to live again in the same city with our daughter and son-in-law, to find out that we would become grandparents, and then to find a new home. Having made that transition, being comforted by that sense of peace, I have to say I am now back to my normal stage of worrying and planning and strategizing and, you know, just all the other ways that I was before. But I will never forget that inexplicable, sustaining, unnatural peace. Thanks be to God. And I have talked to others of you in the presbytery who have felt the same. A person who was comforted even during a time when her husband was very ill. Another friend of mine, and I don't think he's a Christian, but his mother died unexpectedly at a fairly young age. And he said to me, after she died, I felt this calm and this peace that everything was okay with her. Everything was all right. And he said, that probably sounds weird to you. And I told him, no, not really. It's kind of what I do. But they had received that sustaining peace as a gift. And they found that their hearts were no longer troubled. And they had the courage to move forward. I pray that this sanctuary and this community will be a place where you seek and find your... But my greater prayer for you is that individually and collectively as Crossroads, you will discover that sustaining peace that only Jesus Christ can offer. As you feel uprooted in your own life or the life of the church, may you be surrounded in the mystery of a peace we cannot explain, that we can only receive as a gift. May you be untroubled and courageous about your future. Not simply trusting in God's goodness, but filled with a sense of wonder about what lies just beyond the horizon.